And I would like to share some of the Word of the Lord with you. And I desire so much for the Lord to leave a blessing and to help us maybe have a vision and a little better understanding of our time. But before I really speak on the burden of our heart tonight, there was something said as prayer request was being taken about our God being a mighty God. And I do think it is hard for us to understand the greatness of our God. There are many things about our God that it's hard for us as human beings of the earth to fully understand. And another thing is to understand the love of God. And that's what I want to speak on just for a little bit. Very familiar scripture that our children learn, that God is love. And we do have much in the Word of God that should help us to understand a few things of the love of God. The scripture says that He wants you and me to taste of His goodness. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And when we do taste of the Lord, we find out that there's another faction of Him that is of mercy. He is a God of mercy, not just love. I am so thankful when the Lord opened up to me the scripture that says His mercy is new every morning. Do you ever think of that when the sun comes up? Do you ever think of the mercy of the Lord being new, that there is a fresh supply of His mercy? It says His compassions fail not. Oh, that is very important for us to understand, not just His love, but His mercy and His great compassion for all of mankind. The scripture tells us that you and I can only love Him because He first loved us. I didn't know how to love God, but He won me by His love. Thank the Lord. And if you're saved here tonight, that's how you were won also. It was His love and His mercy and His compassion that reached out to each one of us and drew us to Himself. And He said, the Word says that you and I could not be saved unless He did that, unless He drew us to Himself. So I know that the Lord drew me. He had mercy on me when He saved me. Had I not gotten saved at that time, I was at a crossroads in my life. I wouldn't be here tonight, except the Lord drew me. And I thank Him. I praise Him. I worship Him that I'm not out there, but I am here. Thank the Lord. So the love that God has is in a very simple verse that we've all memorized. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." A very important scripture for us tonight. So, as God looks on all of this creation, What does he see? He sees our humanity. He sees that you and I are dust, and that to dust we will return. One scripture may even refer to mankind as weak worms of the earth. He's compared the difference between us and him as a grasshopper. And you and I know we have power over a grasshopper, do we not? We can catch a grasshopper, and we can do with it as we wish. And God knows that you and I are in such a place that He needs to work with us. He needs to reveal Himself to us. And we need to understand who He is and what He is and what His mind is. And another scripture says that His ways and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts and your ways or mine. And He compared it to the heavens being so high above the earth. And there's no way to measure that in reality. It becomes light years. If we measure the distance into space, it becomes another form of measurement that we can't hardly fathom. And yet, He said that He is a man, that He considers man, and that He condescends to men of low estate. I hope you can maybe retain just these simple little thoughts and scriptures, because they're going to mean something before we finish tonight, I hope. Pray the Lord will help us. So the will of God is that no one should perish. No one. You and I, as we go out into the public and we see people with manifestations of what we might call weird, I see people that seem weird. They have the tattoos. They have the pink hair. They have piercings. And they seem weird to me. But do you know God is looking down and He sees that one and He loves that one just like He loves me? And He cares enough for that one that seems weird. And He wants that person to find salvation just as much as He did the night He saved me. Thank the Lord. So He sees man in a totally different way than what you and I see one another. So it is the will of God that none should perish. And as He came and as He was leaving this world, what He did, He spoke to His disciples. And you might say, well, it was only 11. Yes, there were 12, but there were 11 left as He left. And He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it looked like a big job. And you know what that is called in the Bible? Over in the little margin, it says this in my Bible. It's called the Great Commission. And so God has given a commission, and I don't see any place that ended. That it's speaking to us today. And it's a great task. It's a charge. It's a responsibility. And even though it started with only 11, He's sending all of us with a responsibility to those we come in contact with, even though they may seem weird. I am going to speak to you now concerning two words. A number of years ago, I was down praying, and the Lord spoke two words to me. One of those words was order. The second word was allow. And as the Lord began to open up my mind and unfold to my understanding what He intended by these two words, I found that the purpose of God is magnified sometimes in a way that I can't fully understand. Just as it's hard for me to understand the greatness of God, it's hard for me to understand His purpose sometimes, and it's hard for me to understand the love that He has for mankind and His compassion and His mercy, but He has a purpose. And that purpose is still just as effective, or meant to be as effective today, as it was in the beginning. And so it was opened up to my mind in a way that the foundation for the thoughts this evening is actually still on that great love of God. We have a portion of a song that says, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. And it ends and it says that it's the saints' and the angels' song. And that should be our song. That should be our song. And we should have, we should maybe seek the Lord to have a greater understanding of what He really wants to do with His love. So I'm going to give you the definition for the word order, and I may read it to you twice. It says, it is to ordain a condition in which is methodically and harmoniously arranged with divine purpose. And if you can some way retain some of these, I call them wonderful words, because it says something about the purpose of God. But God does ordain order. And He ordains a condition in which is methodically and harmoniously arranged with divine purpose. So that is the definition for order. And the word allow is very simple definition. It is to permit. It is to suffer it to be so. Or it is simply not preventing. So those are two distinctively different words, but they have connection. The time of year is a wonderful time of year when we're thinking about Christmas. I have not always had an appreciation for Christmas. But since the Lord gave this to me, I have an appreciation. And I hope to be able to express it to you tonight and share it. And I hope that you too will have an appreciation for this season or time of the year. Christmas should be about the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ was not without prophecies. prophecies are so important in the Word of God. Because those things which were prophesied, and the Scripture says that there were men of old who spake as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance or understanding. The Scripture in that same passage says, it was not by the will of man. And so prophecies are not by the will of man. For had they been, it would not have come together or been fulfilled such as it was. But there are many prophecies throughout the Old Testament, even starting in Genesis, concerning Christ. And then we have the fulfillment. And you and I are so privileged to have the Word of God that we can study, and that we can study the prophecies, and that we can also then turn over and we can see where it was fulfilled. So, what was prophesied of Christ? It was foretold long before it was ever fulfilled. It was not something that was prophesied even 1 year before it happened. It was prophesied many years before it really took place. And yet, it came to pass exactly as was prophesied. So what was foretold was his conception, his birth, the place of his birth, his name, his mission, and ultimately his death. It was all prophesied. And the fulfillment of all of his life, his beginning and his end and his mission are most detailed. There is a space of time between the age of 12 when he was in the temple, and in his 12-year-old mind, he felt that he should be about his father's business even then. But he was subject unto his parents, and he followed them back home and remained there. And all of those years until the age of 30 is hidden from us. But his birth, his mission of 3 years, his death, his resurrection is not hidden. It is all explicitly and, I would say, intimately described. And I like that. And I can appreciate it more now. When I was growing up and we were doing our Christmas thing, singing the carols, maybe reciting the scripture, it just became routine. But I see it in a different light today. And so, as the Lord was interested in His Word being preserved and given to mankind, the Word of the Lord says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You ever thought of that? That really all of his doctrines, his teachings, whatever the Lord, he was interested in things being established. And not haphazardly. It was set in order. And he felt the same way concerning his son. The birth of his son, he wanted it to be witnessed. by more than one person. So I'm going to give you some of the witnesses of Christ's birth. And first of all, we would have to say Mary and Joseph, and that's two witnesses. They were both a part of, they became agents of, they were the one the caretaker, one the vehicle from which Jesus was given birth. But angels appeared unto them. Angels spoke to them, and they received it. They didn't deny it. They didn't discount it or doubt it. And they didn't fear. And so when the angel came to Mary, she just simply said, "Do with me as you wish," basically. She humbled herself and accepted that position, and she became a great witness. Joseph the same. When the angel appeared unto him and told him not to fear to take Mary as his wife, he believed the report, he didn't doubt it, and he became a great witness. But there were other witnesses. Men whose names we don't know. Shepherds. How many there were, I don't know. But I'm sure there were more than one, because the word is plural. But the angel of God, the angels of God, appeared unto them while they watched over their flock by night. And they had a message that this was going to be for all men. Great news. A wonderful report. And they were afraid, and yet the angel said, "Don't be afraid. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And this is the King of all the earth." Oh, they didn't say it that way. I'm saying it that way. But as they said, "Let us go and find this wonder." And they searched until they found, and they became witnesses. And they said, "Let us go and tell this." How many they told, I don't know. How many believed the report, I don't know. But the word began to go out that night. And then as Jesus was taken to the temple as a babe to be offered unto the Lord, two more witnesses. Simeon, he said, "Now I can die, for my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." He became a witness. There was something that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him as he looked upon Jesus as a babe. And he was satisfied now. "I can go." And then there was the prophetess Anna, who had been looking for. She had been in the temple for many years, fasting and praying and seeking God. There were others. We don't know their names. But God will always have a witness to what He does in the earth. And so this was all done, and I'm going to still use my definition for order. It was done methodically and harmoniously. And it was done for divine purpose. It was prophesied and it was fulfilled, and there were witnesses. And so you and I now believe the report. We believe He was the Son of God. And we believe that He died and has the power to save from sin today. So we come down to this season, and I hope that we can maybe think about the prophecies and the fulfillment, and that we can, of all people, be able to glorify and praise and honor our God, that He is great. He is the mighty God, and there is nothing too hard for Him, and that He does love the whole world, and He is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to the place of repentance. So I'm going to skip on down a little ways. We have given some of the points that are just explicitly detailed, but there are some details concerning Christ's birth and death that is obscure also. They're hidden. And one of those things is the date of His birth. Now we have almost the time of His death. We can identify it a little closer. But was December the 25th His birth date? No. We really can only determine, as it was when the shepherds were watching their sheep at night, it was not in this month. It was not in the winter time that they were out in the fields watching their flocks by night. So no, we know this is not His date of birth. But now I want to give you or remind you of the definition for allow. Permit. To suffer it to be so. Not preventing. Do you believe God has power over all things? Do you believe that God sets up kings and takes down kings? Do you believe that He deals in the governments of the world? I believe that. Do you believe that He has the government of the church, the responsibility of it? I believe it. I believe there is not any civil government that God does not have control, that He allows things. He suffers it to be so. He does not prevent some things to happen. I believe that God has the power. He could have ordered anything that He wanted to order. And I think of the birth of Christ, and when I look back, and I don't necessarily have the history of all of these things, but we do know a few things. That it's been passed down through the ages of time. Maybe they didn't have it written in such a way like you and I are so privileged to read. But the birth of Christ has been told from one generation to another, down through the ages of time. Christmas is really a pagan holiday. That sounds bad, doesn't it? When we think of Christmas, and if you study it out, you can find out a lot of pagan customs that we are accustomed to, that we don't even really think about. But it really, its origin is in pagan worship. And pagan worship is on the increase. pagan worship is not dead. Pagan worship is appealing to more and more people in our society. And we might say, well, that is pagan and we shouldn't have anything to do with paganism. I agree. I certainly don't want to worship my Savior in any way that would promote paganism. And we think of the word Christmas and that it was actually came from a Catholic term, Christ Mass. And I consider all of that and I think, oh, I really don't want to participate in something that has to do with a Mass of the Catholic Church. So I may look at this and feel a negative feeling about Christmas. And then I may go to town and I may see Santa Claus. And oh, Santa Claus was around when I was a little girl. Now, my parents didn't allow us to believe in Santa Claus. As children, we would see Santa Claus in town, and Mother would always say, your daddy and I are really Santa Claus. She was trying to get us to understand that you don't get these presents magically appear, and it's from Santa Claus. We had some friends one time that had four little boys, and they really wanted them to believe in Santa Claus, and they had a fireplace, and when the boys were put to bed, they always had their cookies and the milk out and for Santa Claus. And so after they were in bed, the father would take his boots and go into the ashes of the fireplace and walk out on the carpet, leaving the prints so that those little boys would actually believe that Santa Claus came down the chimney. And that then, of course, the cookies and the milk were gone. And so they just knew that he took their cookies and milk. And I'm sure there came a time that those little children finally found out the truth. But these are things that surround Christmas. And we've all grown up with it, whether consciously or unconsciously. And yet in the midst of it is the birth of Christ. I'm going to go back to my definition of order. That it was methodically, there was purpose, divine purpose. And God has all power in heaven and in earth. He sets up kings, He takes down kings, He has the power in the civil governments of our world, He has the power in the religious forms of the earth, He has the power of the Church of God. All of this matters to Him. Do you not think that if He had this much power, that He would have said, my son is not going to be set up beside Santa Claus? Do you think that He would have enough power that He would say, my son is not going to be mixed with pagan worship? And my son is not going to have a false birthday. And my son is not going to be used by a Catholic religion. Do you think he had power to do that? Okay. I believe it too. Turn with me to John, the first chapter. I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And this Word It's capitalized. It's a proper noun. It's the name of a person. And we know that that is Christ. Christ was from the beginning. We could interchange the name Christ with the name Word and it not take anything away. In the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God. And then it says, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Are we in a dark world? Is paganism darkness? Is Catholicism considered darkness? Is Santa Claus part of that deception? It's dark. And he says, I'm going to allow the little ray of light of my Son to shine through the darkness of this world. So what if it's at a wrong date? So what if it's beside this and beside that? In the midst of it, I'm going to allow this light to shine. And down through the ages of time, that's what He has done. And if He had not, would there have been people who never heard of it? In His wisdom, in His love, in His greatness, in His compassion, in His mercy, He said, I'm going to allow my Son to be set up next to all of this darkness that light can come to some that will hear it and believe it and receive it. Not everyone will now, because it said the darkness did not comprehend this ray of light. I'm blessed. I am blessed to know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can someone get saved with a Christmas carol? Is there any messages of truth in Christmas carols? Are they based on the Word of God? The ones that we sing? You all are going to be going Christmas caroling. We did a week ago. It's a blessing. I am blessed that the Lord loved the world to allow His Son to be put up in this darkness for there to be some light to someone. What are some of the carols? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. If someone that really didn't have any other light and understanding, if some way the Spirit of the Lord could witness to that soul what that light was, what that joy was, where it was recorded in the Bible, maybe they find someone that reads it to them, what the angel said. I believe it's light in the midst of darkness. And there could still be someone that could grasp hold of that light. We can thank the Lord. And so when the next time somebody says, well, this is not His birth date, you can say, well, it's the time God chose and allowed. He suffered it to be so. He did not prevent it. He could have. He could have stopped it. He had the power. He could have said, "You're not going to do this with my son's name." But he allowed it. He ordered it, and he allowed it then to be as it is today. And in reality, Christ's death is the same way. We know that it was around Easter. Easter is listed in the Word of God, and if you study it, it's a pagan holiday. And what else is set up there with Easter? The Easter Bunny. You see how the enemy wants to bring in things of darkness, but God wants to bring in the ray of light, that the light will shine in darkness, and that someone will see that light. So we come to Easter, and it's the same thing. We still have the privilege of manifesting the resurrection of Christ. We don't have to partake of the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs and all of those kind of things. We can still demonstrate our praise for the resurrection. Thank the Lord. So God simply chose to allow His Son's birth and death and resurrection to be in the midst of darkness, that someone will receive the ray of light. I am so thankful, because this says God loved the whole world, that someone could be saved in the midst of darkness. Pray for me.